Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Acts chapter 2. We're going to jump about 12 to 18 months ahead in the story and see where Peter's at. Preacher, I got to be honest, this is a little bit of a dirty trick. In the years you've been helping me with my preaching, you've told me pace, and then you put me behind Brother Elliot and expect me to keep my pace. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse number 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell of Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." I want to bring a message to you tonight, and those three words there, this is that, I want to rephrase that and say, is that this? And what I mean by that is, we live in a day and age where the world, the flesh, and the devil are trying to convince us that there is something better than the local church. And I want to take a look at some of the attributes of the local church tonight and see if the world can provide something better than what local church can provide for us. Amen. Brother Bayona, would you open in prayer, please? Amen. Now, let me start off by saying this. None of these things I'm going to mention tonight in and of themselves are wicked. But it becomes a sin in our life when it takes place of the priorities that God's put upon us. It becomes a sin and it becomes an idol in our heart when these things take the precedence in our life of the place that God has established for the local church and what it should be in our life. Paul says that we're to follow him as he follows Christ. And if Christ established the local church, what better place is there for us to learn about our Savior than the place that he established? Amen. What better opportunity do we have to know about him than in the local church? I find today, and listen, we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of getting distracted. We're all guilty of allowing things to take precedence over the priorities of where our priorities should be in our life. I'm not up here big me, little you. I'm as guilty as any of the rest of us are tonight in that there are times in our lives where the church takes a back seat to everything else we have going on. Whether it's right or wrong, that happens in our lives. But it doesn't negate the fact that the church is the greatest location, the greatest place we have today to meet with our Savior on a regular basis. There's nothing greater than being able to come to a church. There's nothing greater than being able to come to an altar and remember when God dealt with me in a specific location at some point in time in my life. There's nothing greater than being able to go to a place and go, you know what? I've heard God there. I've heard God there again. I've heard Him there again. I've heard Him there again. And I've heard Him there again. There's something about being in a church that you can't find out there in the world. There's something about being in a local church that provides you a comfort and a safety that you can't find anywhere else out there in the world. There's something about coming to a place that's a clean place and finding a place that's a holy place where you can meet with a holy God. Now, as I go through this and I begin to look at things, you know, there's this movement today to have a home church. To have this church in your house. Now, if you're not able to attend a local church and you have to watch on YouTube or whatever it is because there's not a place there for you to meet, I get that's a special set of circumstances. God help you if that's your situation. I couldn't imagine living in a location where I didn't have a church to come to. I can't imagine. I don't have the discipline to get up on Sunday morning and get dressed in a suit and tie and sit in front of a TV screen. It just ain't going to happen. I mean, I thank God for YouTube. I've got three small kids. They're finally getting to the point where they're not all sick all the time, and my wife and I can be in church on a regular basis. But there's some times when we've had to stay home on a Sunday morning to watch church. I did not get dressed and put a three-piece suit on and sit on the couch and stand when Brother Sam says stand. I didn't listen to the announcements. I typically muted it, and I was getting something out of the fridge. I was having a Coca-Cola and a moon pie, you know. I mean, let's be honest, I'm in my house, I'm in the comfort of my home, I'm going to enjoy church the way I want to enjoy church. You can't see me, you don't know what I'm doing. Amen? But these people that think they can worship God in their home, and that's as good a place as being a local church, are just ludicrous, and they're a fraud, and they're a liar to the body of Christ. Your church is one of the dirtiest places in the entire world. You hide stuff in your home you wouldn't hide in the local church. You hide stuff in the corners of the dark recesses, not just of your closets where you don't want anybody to open up, but in the dark recesses of your heart, that you come to church, and at least in church you get a shower and get shaved and get cleaned up and look pretty so that you, everybody at least thinks you're clean. At least when you come to a local church, there's an appearance of cleanliness. Now I realize that the world is, the modern church has said, come as you are, leave as you came. I thank God that the independent Baptists still have a standard for how you ought to preach. That there's still a standard that, hey, when you get in this pulpit, you'd better have a coat and tie on, and you'd better be ready to preach from the book. Thank God that that's still a standard that we hold to. That, you know what, when you come to this place, there's an expectation of cleanliness. Now, you know what, praise God, if a sinner walks in off the street, I hope we can see him and meet him as a point of need. But if you're still dressing like a man off the street after you've been in a local church for 6 months, God help you. But to think you can worship God in your home. In your home, you hide things. You put things down. You watch stuff upon the television in your home and the internet. You would never let anybody think you watch in local church. If your pastor came and sat beside you and watched some of the stuff you watch, you'd be embarrassed. But yet somehow, it's okay for... I mean, I got to think about this the other day. If two queer men walked in the back of our church and kissed, there'd be enough men in this church ready to tackle them and knock them down that it wouldn't last very long. It would not be tolerated. Yet somehow in our home, we think it's okay for it to happen on the television and not turn it off. It's just, well, that's just the world. I mean, it's just infiltrated the program. Hey, how about turn the program off? But you know what? These people that think they can worship God in their home as good as they can in the church, it's a lie. You can't meet with Jesus Christ in your home because you're not as holy in your home as you are at church. When you come to church, there's an expectation that I'm going to do right. I'm going to at least do the best I can to look right. I'm going to try to look the best I can and live for Jesus Christ. And there's an expectation of that. In your home, there's no expectation of that. You're the authority in your home. That's the problem why you don't want to come to church, because you get to be the king in your castle. You're afraid to come sit underneath a man and have him tell you what's wrong with you while you're dirty. Your home's not a clean place, but the church is a clean place. The church should be a clean place. Preacher and I were talking about this the other day. Do you realize the building we're meeting in is nearly 20 years old? There's nothing wrong with having a clean church. There's nothing wrong with having a clean place to meet God. There's nothing wrong with taking care of your buildings. There's nothing wrong with being a steward of what God's given you to take care of. Taking care of a building is as important as taking care of the people. Do you really want somebody not to come back to your church because the ceiling on the panel of ceiling's peeling off? I mean, what kind of testimony is that as an independent Baptist that, well, we can't take care of our buildings, but we know the Bible? I get that ain't a popular statement, but the bottom line is people want to come into a place where they feel comfortable. They want to come to a clean place. They don't want to walk into church where there's black stains all the way down the aisle where somebody spit their gum out all over the place. You go into any other store, there's an expectation that, you know what, the clothes I'm buying off the shelf are clean clothes. Somebody hadn't worn them before. Yet somehow we come into church and just think, well, we can just throw our feet up on the pew and just act any way we want to. No, the church is a clean place. It's a holy place. You look over there in the book of Exodus, God spent nearly 12 chapters establishing how the tabernacle is supposed to be put up. That's a lot. Then you get in the book of Leviticus and he's got a whole thing about all the different offerings you're supposed to take care of while you're in the church. There's a lot in the Bible about what's supposed to go on in the church. Whether doctrinally or devotionally, there's a lot there that needs to be dealt with and looked at. But God set the local church a place as a place of holiness. It's a place where there's an expectation of when you show up, you're going to hear something holy from the pulpit. Where you go in the world that you find something holy? Certainly in Walmart. And you can clean it up and call it Nordstrom's if you want, but it's all the same slop. But the bottom line is the world has nothing holy to offer you. The world has nothing in it for a Christian to come to find any sort of holiness. The local church is the closest thing to holiness we're going to find in this life. And it's because this book is in this church is why it's even considered holy. It's not us that make it holy, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can't get anywhere close to holiness. Are we supposed to strive to holiness? Are we supposed to strive to righteousness? Well, how can you do that if you're not a part of a local church? The church is a clean place. It's a holy place. But the other thing about a church is it's an honest place. It's a place where you get the truth. Amen? Where do you go to find the truth in the world today? And if you mutter Fox News, so help you God. I'm sick and tired of people making the church a political movement or political function. Jesus Christ said, render to Caesar things that are Caesar and things of God that are God's. Listen, take care, pay your taxes, do what the government tells you to do, but leave it behind and let's focus on Jesus Christ. The government's going to burn in hell one day. Who cares about the government? Let's talk about Jesus Christ. Donald Trump hadn't done squat for me. But Jesus Christ, dadgum sure has. Listen, folks, Jesus Christ is the reason we're here tonight. We're not here because somebody paid the freedoms for us years ago. We're here because Jesus Christ died, gave his life for us on the cross and rose again. That's why we're in church tonight. We're not here because the government can do anything for us. And for us to get up here and talk Democrats and Republicans and Independents, Tea Party, Libertarians, that's just foolishness. It's a waste of our time. It's a waste of what the Lord's trying to do. And it's nothing but a distraction. There's no truth and honesty that there's not a politician on either side of the aisle that tells the truth. You know how to tell politicians lying? His lips are moving. Where are you going to go find truth today? You going to find it on social media? I guarantee you, if you got social media, you've posted something that wasn't true. You've taken some picture of yourself in some angle that if you changed the angle, it would reveal the lie that you just posted. You got the chin look where you get it up here or you get down here. I don't know the angles, but you hold it at an angle. You get the selfie stick so far away from you where it, you know, it hides the blemish here, it hides the blemish there. You're not going to find truth there. But yet somehow we turn to that for truth on a regular basis. We turn to that as the answers to what we can solve problems in our daily life. If we spend as much time in the book as we do on social media, we'd be in a whole lot better shape. You can only come to the church as an honest place. You can't give me any other place in the world that's an honest place. That's a place where you're going to get unfettered truth that's going to stand the test of time and it's going to last from now to eternity. The church is the only place you're going to find that's going to give you something that will take you through from here to the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe the judgment seat of Christ is the next most important day in our lives after salvation. And if we're supposed to be preparing for that, why do we allow ourselves to be deceived by lies the world tells us? Why do we allow ourselves to be put in a place where we accept a lie? I mean, we turn on Fox News like it's the gospel truth. And they lie just as bad as all the rest of them do. We shouldn't be putting stock in that. But yet so many Christians, that's their lives. I use the illustration about some people I know that literally every room in their house has a television in it and every TV is on. And as you move from room to room to room, the channel is on Fox News. They're saved people. They couldn't tell you the last time they read through their Bible to save their life. But man, they can flat tell you whatever Donald Trump's done or Nancy Pelosi or every other one, Tom, Dick, and Harry that's up there on the hill. What is that doing for you eternally? What's that doing for us to grow spiritually to get closer to Jesus Christ? What's that doing to reach lost people out there in the world and bring them in and show them a Savior? How come we can get more excited about our taxes than we can about Jesus Christ? It ought not be that way, folks. It ought not be the way that we care more about the physical things of this life than we do the spiritual. And if it wasn't for the church, you wouldn't have a place to come to get that direction. You'd be constantly deceived by something else out there. It's because of the provision of the local church the Lord gave to us that we have any sense that we have about us at all. It's because God gave us a place to come to. God designated some men to study the book and tell us what the book says so we can know what truth is. Now think about the Ethiopian eunuch. How can we understand unless a man explain it to us? I thank God for the men He sent to explain it to us. And you know what? We as congregants, if you will, I'm not a pastor of a church. I just attend here at Bible Believers. You know what we have a duty to do? To show up and hear the truth the man of God preaches. We have a responsibility to listen to what God's given to him so that we can do something within our lives. We have a responsibility to pay attention and do the best we can. Are we going to fail? Absolutely. I mean, give me 10 minutes outside of the church and I'm going to mess up. I mean, that's all I need. You pull me up to the stop sign and let some moron run by me and there it goes. Like a dove, the Holy Spirit went out the window and back in the world we go. That's about all it takes. I'd love to say that it's not that way. But let's be honest. We live in a world today where the pressure is greater than it's ever been to deny Jesus Christ. The pressure is greater today to focus on the physical things you have going on in your life than anything else in the world. The world does everything it can to get you consumed in physical problems that don't amount to a row of pins as far as eternity is concerned. I look at some of the things I've been through recently and I'm like, man, they seemed like such a big deal just a month ago. And now I'm like, man, that was jelly beans to where I am right now. But yet, we allow those things to pull us away from the truth. We allow those things to pull us away from an honest place. The last thing I want to say is we the church is a place of helpfulness. Where else are you going to go find spiritual help in this world? Where else are you going to go find a place where a group of people want to get together and get closer to Jesus Christ? It's not out there. There is no place you can find. You've got your athletic fields. I mean, that's a big thing today. Get your kids in athletics and let's see them grow. And I get college is expensive and you got scholarships and you find a way that, you know, this is helpful. This is helping my family. I promise you it's not. You missing a church service to be at a ball game is not helping your family grow. It never has. Listen, should you take your families on vacation? Absolutely, you should take your families on vacation. I'm not telling you got to be in church every single time, but you should do the best you can to be in church every single time. I remember the story that preacher's dad used to tell about Herbie. I was listening to an old tape, and he was telling the story about it again, and the brother Peacock was in a meeting with five other pastors of that church there at East Lake Baptist Church in Tennessee. And they were all discussing Herbie. Now, if you don't know who Herbie was a individual that was mentally not all there. He had been born, his thumbs were pressed in, so he didn't have the use of his thumbs. At that time, they didn't know how to do surgery. And the guy walked to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. Every time the church doors were open, that guy was in church. That guy would go around that community and he would collect newspapers. And he'd bunch the newspapers up and with his fingers he would roll those newspapers up, put them in his little cart, and he'd go down to the local recycle station, have them weighed, and get them weighed. They'd pay him his money and then he'd go home. Every week during the week he would come to the church and see Brother Peacock and say, "Brother Peacock, how much is my tithe?" And he'd lay out all the money he'd made from rolling newspapers there on the preacher's desk, and the preacher would count it out and he'd say, "Well, Herbie, you made $100 this week." "Well, preacher, what's my tithe?" He said, "Well, preacher, well, Herbie, you know, 10%, $10 will be your tithe." And he'd say, "Yeah, well, preacher, you're always talking about an offering, preacher. You're always talking about an offering. So let's make it $2 more. Let's make it 12. Here's a guy making $100 a week his brain doesn't go all the way to the top, doesn't have near the faculties that you and I have, and yet he's concerned about what he can give to God. Those five preachers got together, and over the course of 37 years, they could only find five times that he'd missed church in 37 years. That's a testimony. That's a guy that you and I are going to be sitting behind at the judgment seat of Christ. That's a guy who did everything he could for Jesus Christ. He couldn't sing a lick and a note. I had the opportunity to meet that fellow one time. He was laying in a hospital bed, and they were getting ready to do surgery and cut his leg off. He'd gotten gangrene in one of his legs, and they were getting ready to cut his leg off. And Brother Peacock was standing there, and he said, "Well, Herbie," he said, "you know, what are you going to do about this?" And he said, "Well, preacher, I'm just going to hop around on my good leg until Jesus gives me a new body." That's a guy that at 57 years of age, he's still thinking about Jesus Christ giving him a new body. He's losing his leg. I can't imagine being laid in a hospital bed right now and my leg's fixing to be gone. And I'm going, "Man, I can't wait until Jesus gives me a new one." not me. I'm going to be woe is me, down in the depths of despair, you know, that my life is ending. But here's a guy who's because of his faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, all he can see is what God's going to do for him. Amen. All he can see. But you know why I believe it was? Because of the help he found in the local church. He found a place that where the world had rejected him. They had cast him aside. They said, you're not worth anything. You ought to just go out and die. You just ought to just lay your whole life down. You're not worth anything. But the church gave him a purpose in his life. The church gave him something to look forward to. The church gave him a place to be able to come to and worship the Creator that made him. Here's a guy that had no reason to be thankful for being created, and he's absolutely thankful for the way God made him. He's thankful for the position God put him in. We have everything in the world to be thankful for today, and we find a reason to complain and not look for the help Jesus Christ is offering us. We have everything in the world to go out and achieve whatever we want to achieve, and we complain about having to be at church on a Wednesday night. I have no doubt somebody in here go, four preachers, great day, we're never going to get out of here. Thank God for four preachers. I'd be glad it was five or six. Hey, I took off the rest of the week so I can be in church. I'm here to be in church, so if I'm not in church, I'm going to be eating somewhere. So might as well be in church so I can lose some weight. But the church is a helpful place. How many times have we seen catastrophes in our nation, and what happens? People turn to the church. I remember after 9/11, there was this resurgence of people getting back in church all of a sudden. You know the greatest detriment to the church? Not enough tragedy. People don't need our help if they're not hurting. We as Christians are always looking for a way to get out of some storm, to get around a storm. We're looking for a way, you know, I mean, all of your psychological slop today is it somebody else's fault, it's somebody else's this, if, you know, you need to get this person out of your life or, you know, remove yourself from this, it's their fault, it's not your fault. Hey, folks, if we'll take responsibility and let God take us through the storm, guess what? We'll find out we can help somebody on the other side. There's some folks in our church that have been through some serious things. I mean some things that I can't even imagine going through. There's some of you that have been through some life-altering things. And you know what you find since you've been through those? You can help somebody you couldn't help before. You have an ability to minister that the rest of us who haven't been through those things can minister. But you know what? It only happens in a local church. The thing I love about this place, about Bible Believers Baptist Road on Hartley Road, is I would never have picked any of you to be friends with if it wasn't for the local church. I don't mean that to be offensive, but I would have never found you if it wasn't for the local church. I would have never known you existed if it wasn't for a local church. If it wasn't for our Lord and Savior bringing us together, I would have never found you. I'd have never found a place like Brother Mitch's barbershop. Brother. That place has helped me. More than you know, that place has helped me. Get together with some brothers on a regular basis and just talk about the Lord for a few hours. There's nothing like it. I'd have never known who Brother Mitch was if it hadn't have been for Bible Believers Baptist Church. I'd have never found that place if it hadn't been for Bible Believers Baptist Church. But it's because of the local church that we find that. We're able to find strength in each other. We're able to lean upon each other. We're able to help each other get through things that the world doesn't understand. The world comes in here when somebody loses somebody and goes, how do you go through that like that? One, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But two, it's a local church. It's this fellowship of believers that loves each other and cares for each other, cries for each other and weeps with each other and rejoices with each other. That's how we get through this. There's no other place in the world where you're going to find the help that you can find in the local church. There's no other place in the world where you can find forgiveness for when you've messed up. You can't go anywhere else out there in the world to find help for forgiveness. The world don't care for your forgiveness. They're not interested in you being forgiven. They don't even know what forgiveness is. The church is the only place you can find that. The church is the only place you can come to and go, you know what, Lord? I have been distracted. Lord, the church hasn't been the place that it should have been in my life. Lord, the church is not as important as it used to be. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be a second thought. It doesn't have to be, well, I'll fit it in if I can make it work this week. It can get back to being a priority in your life. I thank God for two parents that taught me how important church was from a young age. I had that benefit and that luxury. I mean, every time the church doors were open, I was in church. And I thank God for that. And it's because of that I'm in church today. And are there times I'd be glad to get out of here? Certainly. But that's the flesh talking. That ain't the new man. The inward man's going, man, stick around here a little bit longer. If you can just stay a little bit longer, I'll get you a little bit closer where I really want you to be. How much personal growth do you find on your own out there in the world? Listen, I love finding times where I can be alone in the woods somewhere and it's just me and the Lord talking. I mean, I've had some great fellowship with the Lord where it's just He and I in some great places. And by all means, you should take some time to get alone with God and fellowship with God. But I've seen God meet me here at this place way more times than He's met me in a deer stand. I've seen God meet me way more times here in this place than He's met me in a boat or on a golf course or whatever else you want to throw in there on a ball field and some moose club, whatever that is. Jesus Christ has met me here more times than He's ever met me anywhere else. Church doesn't have to be an afterthought in our lives. It doesn't have to play second fiddle to everything else. You want to get your family in fellowship with back in fellowship? Get them in church. You got troubles with your wife? Get them in church. I can't tell you how many times my wife and I have had a discussion. And we don't argue in our home, we discuss. And don't ask my kids about that. But we've come to church. We didn't need to go to counsel in a preacher's office. But we've come to church and listened to some preaching. And you know what? The Lord's dealt with our problems. The Lord's dealt with my heart and said, Woodard, you're wrong here. He's dealt with her heart and said, Jennifer, you're wrong here. And you know what? After the service is over, the Lord's worked the whole thing out. You can't find that in the world. You can't find that in a therapist's office. You find that in a local church. There's something special about the local church. There's something special about this place. And so I want to challenge you tonight to look at your life and see where the church fits in your life. What importance do you have in the local church? What role does it play in your life? Is it a afterthought? Or is it the main feature? I read a quote this week. Guy said that the church should not be an accompanist, but should be a soloist in your life. I don't know how better else to say it than that. The church should be a priority in our life because Jesus Christ established the church. If the church is not a priority, then your fellowship with Jesus Christ is not right. And that's the bottom line. If you're not walking with the Lord, you're not in church. If you're in church, you at least got a chance to walk with the Lord. So where are you tonight? Are you in a place where your church is a great priority or is it second fiddle? Is there something above church in your life? Is there something this week that's more important to you than being here for the meetings? There shouldn't be. You're going to hear some absolutely unbelievable preaching from the men that are going to be up here preaching this week. Life-altering, life-changing, eternal impacting preaching. I hope you'll make it a priority this week to be here. I hope you'll think about that and think about it at your home if you're not from here. What value do you place on your local church? What value do you place on your local pastor? Do you support him in what he's doing? Or are you just there soaking up the good cold air? I hope that you'll consider some of this and listen to what some of these other men have to say and consider what the Lord wants you to do as far as your walk and your relationship with the local church. Brother Peacock.